Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning. Hopefully you're having a great day. Did anyone get a lot of rain yesterday? You guys? Oh, we got a little bit. We were coming home from a birthday party, and we couldn't get home, so we had to park about a block away and walk to our house. So that was a lot of fun. Luckily, you know, basement is dry, praise the Lord, because I'm refinishing it. That would have been really a bummer just as I finish it up. Starts raining in there, but luckily, yeah, basement is dry, but so thank you so much for coming this morning. You know, this is a historic day. This is the first day since I've been here that we have a bulletin. Yeah, that's exciting. So if you guys could give Brenna a hand, she's doing some great work for us with the graphics, and so now you guys can keep track of everything that we're doing, which is great. So as Stephanie mentioned, when you leave here and when you go to Texas Roadhouse today, because all you guys are going to go there for lunch, 10% of the proceeds go back to the church, so that's pretty cool. One other slight notation on the bulletin. The first thing on the right-hand side there, upcoming events, Michael and Stephanie's after party, has been postponed. So if you guys want to bring dessert next week, you can. We will still eat it. I promise you we will. But that's been postponed for a little while. So if you guys could keep them in your prayers and keep them in your thoughts, we would appreciate that. So, I'm kind of bummed that our last series is over. Did you guys enjoy The Counselor? That was pretty cool, wasn't it? But, you know, all good things must come to an end. So today we're actually starting a new series called Unafraid. Can you look to your neighbor and say, Unafraid? Unafraid. We're starting a new series called Unafraid, Overcoming the Power of Fear. I heard this story once of an old Cherokee that was teaching his grandson about life, and he said, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the boy. He said, "It's a terrible fight. It's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry. He's full of envy and sorrow and regret. Greed and arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, pride, and ego." So that's the one wolf. And then he said, there's another wolf. The other one is good. The other one is joy and peace and love and hope, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. And he said, the same fight is going on inside of you. And inside of every other person, too. So there's two wolves. One is good. One is evil. The grandson thought about it for a moment, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? And the old Cherokee simply replied, the one that you feed. The one that you feed. You know, I think we all have different fears, don't we? We have, in fact, I was reading some statistics. The greatest fear out of all the fears is, they've taken surveys, is the fear of public speaking. So if I leave here quickly, you know why. But we all have different fears. Fears of being alone. Maybe some of you have fears of germs, fear of death. We had a dog that was petrified of thunder and lightning. A fear of clowns. Anyone? Afraid of clowns? No? Right there. Praise the Lord. Fear of clowns. Fear of being stuck with someone the rest of your life. Fear of being alone the rest of your life. I read some interesting fears. There's a fear called nomophobia, which is a fear of being without your cell phone. This is another weird one. Somnophobia, which is a fear of falling asleep. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? You're about to fall asleep. You're like, no! Fear of falling asleep? Really? Okay. Turophobia is the fear of cheese. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? The fear of cheese. You see cheese on a sandwich and it's like, ah. But we all have different fears on a serious note. Fears that can cripple us. Fears that can hold us back. Fears that can distort our reality. And fears that can stunt our spiritual growth. And so today I want to speak to you for a moment about being unafraid and about your fears. And I really, the purpose of this message is to bring you encouragement that you do not have to live in fear, and that we serve a God who has equipped you with boldness and also a God who has given you freedom. Amen? So if you have your Bibles today, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20. Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20. I'm reading from the ESV version, but you can read from any version that you like. You can follow along on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles. There's a Bible in front of you in the pew. Or there's a free app you can download on your phone, too, called YouVersion, which has a bunch of different translations. So Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20, unafraid. To give you a little bit of context, the people of Israel had miraculously escaped Egypt. The Lord had delivered them. He had brought them out. He had destroyed their enemies. And they had been wandering in the desert for at least 2 years. We're not entirely sure how long, but for at least 2 years. So if you can imagine walking in the desert for 2 years, at least 2 years, and they had come to the southern border of the promised land of Canaan, which God had promised them, and this is like kind of the moment that they'd been waiting for. And so this is what we find in Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20. They're on the border of Canaan, getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negeb and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whatever the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, or whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." So here's Moses. He's giving instructions to the spies to go out into Canaan and to check things out. And so if you jump down to verse 25, it says, "At the end of 40 days," so after they had been in Canaan for 40 days, "they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back the word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they said, 'We come to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit.'" In fact, if you look just earlier, you find that the grape clusters are so heavy that two people have to carry them. So this is its fruit. "However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the people who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land and that they had spied out, saying, "The land, though which we are gone to spy out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and who come down from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." God, I thank you again that we're here this morning, and God, I just pray that you will give us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of self-control. God, I just pray that as we go over this passage today, that you'll open up our hearts and open up our minds to what you have for us today, and I just pray, maybe there's some people here that are dealing with fears, God. I just pray that your perfect love will cast out all fears that they have, God, and that they will just learn to hope and trust and to put their reliance on you, God, in your holy name. Amen. So there were 12 spies that went into the land, into Canaan. There were 12 spies who went in there for 40 days. 12 spies, they each had the same trip. They each had the same purpose. They each had the same mission. 12 spies. Can you guys say 12? Yeah, there's 12 spies. They go in. 12 spies. They go in. They have the same mission. They have the same purpose. They do the same thing. Out of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, this isn't a good idea. 2 of them came back and said, hey, this is a great idea. 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. 2 of them came back and said, we can do it. 10 of them came back and riled up the people. 2 of them came back and quieted the people. 10 of them came back and were unmotivated to go into the land, where 2 of them came back and were motivated to go into the land that God had given them. Amen? So you can see in this passage of Scripture that there's a difference between the 10 men and the 2 men. 10 of the men lived by their fear, while 2 of the men lived by their faith. You know what's interesting? I think when I look at fear can be a terrible master, can't it? And it's, the truth is, like, whatever you feed, like, that is the thing that dwells in your heart, that dwells in your life. Fear can be a terrible master. I have a couple of thoughts about fear today. And I'm not sure what types of fears that you're going through. I'm not sure what type of obstacles that you're facing in your life, but I think when we look at this passage of Scripture, it can give us some insight on what fear does and what God has called us to do. Amen? Fear, first of all, I think when you look at this passage, you can see that fear distorts reality. Can you look to your neighbor and say, fear distorts reality? Now look to your other neighbor and say, fear distorts reality. Fear distorts reality, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes fears are legitimate. Sometimes there are things that can hurt us. There are things that cause damage. There are things that we need to stay away from. But I think fear can have a way of distorting our reality. Look at that. He says, these, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. I mean, I don't know. I guess I could imagine maybe someone in Canaan looking down, seeing an Israelite, being like, hey, Goober, come over here. I don't know why I use that name. Goober, come over here. Are you see this? See this right here? Israelite, pesky little bugger. Stepping on him, crushing him, right? Like, fear has a way of distorting our reality, doesn't it? And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. Fear has a way of distorting our reality. I don't know if you've ever been sick before, and you go on to WebMD. Don't do it. You go on there, you put in your symptoms, and it comes back with a diagnosis, and it says either you have allergies or you're dying of a rare blood disease. Like, fear has a way of distorting our situation, does it not? Does anyone else here afraid of flying? Praise the Lord, I'm not alone. Fear loves company as well. You know, it's crazy. Whenever I go flying, and I used to not be this way, but whenever I go flying, I get more nervous as I get closer to the plane, right? And then you're waiting, and you go through, and you're and you sit down, and you strap in, you're like, and then you keep on going, and then it's driving around, you're like, well, it's not taking off yet, and then the engines start rolling, you start taking off, and you go in the sky, and you know, so never go flying with me, okay? Like, fear has a way of distorting our reality, of distorting the truth. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, right? I almost feel like fear is a magnifying glass. It's like whatever you put your fear on, it distorts, it magnifies, it blows up, it exaggerates, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. I think fear has a way of magnifying our issues. It has a way of magnifying our problems and making things sometimes much worse than what they actually are. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. What's interesting here is I think a lot of times we don't see things the way that they are, but that we see things the way that we are. We don't see the things the way that they are, but a lot of times we see the things the way that we are. Trusting people often see trusting people. Loving people also often see loving people. Angry people often see angry people. Hateful people often see hateful people. You know, maybe you're living in fear right now. Maybe a question to ask yourself is your fear distorting your reality? Because fear often distorts our reality. Another interesting thing about this passage is not only do you see that fear distorted the reality of what was happening, but also fear was obstructing their memory. I believe that fear causes short-term, long-term, mid-term, whatever, memory loss. I mean, just earlier, God had spoken to the people of Israel in Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, and he said, listen, I want you to go and spy out the land which I am giving to the people of Israel. He just told the people of Israel that he was going to give them the land. It wasn't like they were waiting to hear from the Lord. Fear has a way of obstructing our memory. Like when we think about the people of Israel, God had done a lot of things for them, hadn't he? Yes, he'd done a lot for the people of Israel. He had heard their cries in the desert. He'd raised Moses out of obscurity to come and be their leader. He had given him a supernatural power, right, to go down and he even sent the death angel. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? The 10 plagues on Egypt. He'd done all these amazing things. He had pulled them out of captivity in Egypt. He had opened the Red Sea. He had closed the Red Sea. He had fed them with manna in the desert. He had led them by fire. He had led them by a cloud. He had miraculously provided for them. In fact, if you look in just a couple chapters earlier, you can see that God not only provided them manna, but as they were complaining, he decided that he was going to feed them quail. So they had meat coming out of their nostrils. The Lord had done some amazing things for the people of Israel. And now here, on the brink of a breakthrough, on the brink of being able to leave the desert, the wilderness, their memory was obstructed. I think fear makes you forget. Forget how he has provided for you. Forget how he has delivered you. Forget how he has made you, how he has healed you. Forget how God has blessed you. Forget how God has protected you. Fear often obstructs our memory. It distorts our reality. It obstructs our memory. And also, I think fear hinders us from reaching our potential. You thought about that, how fear can hinder you from reaching your potential? I mean, here the people of Israel had been wandering for 2 years in the wilderness, and they'd come up to the southern border of Cana. I imagine the tensions were high. They were anticipating what was ahead of them. Like, this was the time, and this was the moment. They were right at the door of what God had done for them. They were right at the cusp. And now they see danger in front of them. And they're like, you know, I guess we're okay with just staying where we're at. I guess we're okay with just staying in the desert. I guess we're okay with just staying in the wilderness. I guess we're okay with just being here and doing the same thing. At least in the wilderness, we know that we can eat the manna every day. At least in the wilderness, we know that there's going to be a fire that's going to guide us and a cloud that's going to guide us. At least in the wilderness, we know what to expect every day. You know, the unknown, it's out there, and we're just not sure. I mean, we went there, and we saw some giants, and we saw some cities, and we'd prefer to stay with the comfortable than step out in fear and step out in faith. Step out of your fear and step out in faith. Fear has a way of hindering us from reaching our potential. Fear has a way of making you settle for less. Fear has a way of making you stay where you're at instead of moving forward. It distorts your reality. It obstructs your memory. It hinders your potential. 10 men lived in fear. 2 men lived in faith. That's not very good odds. That's only, what, 17 or 16%? I guess what it makes me realize is that the majority isn't always right. 10 lived in fear. 2 lived in faith. Moses picked 12 people. They weren't just normal Joes, but they were leaders from among the people. And he sent them in to just get a taste, like just a taste of what could be. Again, they went to the land. They went to the land for 40 days, about a month and a half, and they tasted the milk, and they tasted the honey, and they tasted the fruit, and they tasted all the beautiful things of Canaan. Do you know sometimes God speaks to us, and he just gives us a taste? Have you thought about that? Sometimes he just gives us a taste. You see this with David when he was anointed as king. Samuel came up to him and he anointed him as king. And so he just got a taste of what it was like to be the king. And then guess what? He had to go back to the field. Sometimes God just gives us a taste of something. You see this with Joseph when Joseph had the dreams where his brothers were going to be bowing down and his mother and his father were going to be bowing down to him. God just gave him a taste, just a taste of what could be. I think we can see the same thing here in this passage. Like God was giving the people of Israel just a taste of what could be. Listen, maybe God has spoken in your life and he's given you a vision, or maybe he's given you a taste, or maybe he's given you a truth, or maybe he's spoken something into your life and he's given you a taste of it. Listen, don't be discouraged. Don't let fears hold you back. Don't let your situations hold you back. Don't let the enemy hold you back to what God has called you to be. Amen? Maybe God's just giving you a taste this morning. What I find interesting is the 10 people who were there when they came back, they came up and they riled up the people and they got the people excited and the people started ruckusing and the people started doing, like fear has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Fear has a way of causing commotion. But you look at Caleb and it says that Caleb quieted the people. He quieted the people. Like, fear has a way of causing dissension, but God has a way, faith has a way of bringing peace. Faith has a way of quieting our souls. You know, and I think we need people more like that in our life. People that can speak quiet in the noise. People that can speak into our life and people that can speak to our potential that God has for you. I think more than that, we can see that when the Spirit of the living God is in your heart, he brings order and he brings peace. Where the enemy brings chaos and confusion, God brings order and God brings peace. You know, in your fears, who do you look to? In your fears, who do you go to? In your fears, are you listening to the crowd? Are you listening to the majority? Are you listening to the people that are speaking chaos into your life? Or are you looking to the author and the perfecter of our faith? And Scripture says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It says Caleb quieted the people. He quieted the people. And as the worship team comes back up, not only did he quiet the people, but he also said, "Let us go at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Again, in verse 30 it says, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once.'" Let us go up at once. You know, I believe that God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Let us go up at once and let us occupy it, for we can overcome it. Let us go up at once. I believe that we serve a God that is bigger than our obstacles, that is bigger than our fears, a God that holds the universe in his hands, a God who put the stars in the sky. Sometimes I think we look at life, we look at our fears, or we look at our life through our fears, and it distorts things. Sometimes it blocks our memory. Sometimes it hinders our potential. And sometimes I think there's truth. In Romans chapter 12, it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Then he goes on to say, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will." See, there's a way to look at things through the lens of your fears, or there's a way to look at things through the lens of God's power. Amen? And sometimes when we look at things through the lens of our fear, it just distorts everything. It makes everything look bad. It makes everything look disgusting. It magnifies everything so that everything looks worse than what it really is. But when we take that magnifying glass and we take it off of our fears and we put it on God, guess what? The other things become smaller. We realize that the God of the universe, the author and the perfecter of our faith, is with us. Amen? There's no reason for us to be afraid, for his love, his perfect love, casts out all fears. His perfect love casts all fears. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been living in fear for a while. Your truth has been distorted. You've forgotten about God. You've forgotten of the things that he's done for you. Your growth has been stunted. Your potential has been stunted. Or maybe you're here today and you've allowed the wrong people to speak into your life. You've been listening to the 10 instead of the 2. Or maybe you're here this morning and God is calling you to do something that you've never done before. My question for you this morning is, who are you feeding? Which wolf are you feeding? Are you feeding the wolf that is angry, the angry that is full of fears, or are you feeding the wolf that is full of goodness? Are you focusing your eyes on Jesus? As we sing the song one last time, I just want to encourage you to cast your fears on him because he cares for you. And I want to encourage you that he has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. God, we thank you that we're here this morning. God, I thank you that we can be unafraid and you're unafraid. And God, I thank you that we can come to you with boldness. God, I thank you that we can come to you knowing that you love us and that you care for us and that you have our best interest in mind, God. I pray right now that you'll use us, God. I just pray for those who are here this morning who have been living in fear, God. I just pray right now that you will just take away all their fears, God. I pray that you will move in them and give them boldness, God, in your holy name.